I was practicing for tomorrow morning.
This is Kostas Vurnas' question for Dimitra Apostolopoulou. I think being an Illinois student, you should look at the literature where there is a quasi-steady state approximation for secondary frequency control or AGC, where you assume a common frequency for the whole system. So again, you have full detail for the generating units as far as their power is concerned. So you can include your model for the wind, but you get rid of the electromechanical oscillations between machines. So I guess for using a probabilistic approach, you could get maybe easier and perhaps more interesting results.
Thank you very much, Dimitra Apostolopoulou. Thank you very much. We're going to look into that.
Anthony Pavasiliou from Catholic University of Leuven. Also a question for Dimitra. I'm not sure I got the comparison between Dynkin and Monte Carlo. So Dynkin will give you closed form expressions for means, variances, and everything. Well, most things you would like to compute. And then Monte Carlo, you maintain the assumption of the Wiener process for the wind speed?
Dimitra Apostolopoulou. So when we run our Monte Carlo simulations, we have like some generator of random. A Wiener process is got like from your step at time t to t plus 1, the distance is just like the Gaussian noise.
So you maintain the assumption. My experience with wind data, at least daily wind data from hour to hour, is that that's quite a bad model. So do you have access to actual data in the time resolution, wind speed data in the time resolution that you want, and would you be able to test your model through Monte Carlo simulation but against field data of wind speed?
That's a good idea. I don't think we have, but we can. Yeah, that would be good to find like real data and run the simulations and do it like the reverse order, like construct our dynamical model from the data.
I mean, I can see how this process better approximates the wind speed for short time scales, like what you are doing. But for daily with hourly resolution, it's not. So that's all.
No,
I had
thank
to
you.
Bernie Lassier, University of Wisconsin. A couple questions, one for the second paper, one for a third paper. I'll do the third paper first since you're already talking. AGC, so it's interesting to see you map things through AGC and all the response to AGC. It's also used not just for generation control, but used for monitoring the reliability of the grid and, in fact, enforcing penalties. So have you considered taking your analysis and applying it to that regard? What is the probability that you will be penalized for exceeding the CPS2 requirement that uses AGC as an input?
Dimitra Apostolopoulou. So that's what we're working on right now, of like translating this framework to CSP1, CSP2, or like the BAAL that they're trying now to have. Because if you think about it, these CSP1s and 2, they just like are averages over the days, cannot has to cross zero in a certain time period, and cannot go over some magnitudes. So yeah.
Thank you. And my question for the second paper is, it's interesting and it's nice to see using the cumulants for doing your calculations and the like, which would allow you to do some complex studies using arbitrary distributions or something other than Gaussian. But your example looks like it's nice and Gaussian. Have you looked at other distributions at all?
Thank you for your question. In this paper, I use the random variable because I don't have the distribution. I just assume the data we have, the Gaussian. But the model can make the computation for all the distribution. And in fact, we are working on that. And we first obtain some result for the distribution different, not only for Gaussian distribution, but also for variable or something. Thank you.
Alex Papalexopoulos, Echo International. This is a question for the first paper. You use a generation distribution slack formulation. In many commercial applications, we use a load distributed slack formulation. It seems the participation factors that come from the latter are more stable because using a generation load slack distributed slack formulation, because of the trippings, generators come in and out of the system, interface with SCADA and so on, there may be a change in the participation factors so that that may impact your algorithms. Have you considered using load distribution slack formulation, and why you chose the generation distribution slack formulation?
Okay, thank you for your question. In fact, in the my name is Yung Lei. I'm from Politecnico di Milano. Thank you for your question. In fact, in our paper, we chose the participation factor for generator, not for the load of something. Because I developed the model for the single slack bus, and it met the distribution for the distributed slack bus with very large variation. So I tried to manage that problem. And so I use the distributed slack bus model to so that I can share the variation from distributed slack bus to all generator in the system. And your recommendation is very good if we consider about the participation factor from the low or something. Thank you, and I will consider about that in the future. Thank you.
Juan Carlos Muñoz from the University of Waterloo. My question is going to the first paper. You are using DC power flow to solve the optimization problem, the robust optimization problem. My question is if there is any limitation to use the AC approach in such a way that you can take into account security limits, for example. How are you going to take into account, for example, available transfer capability? If these values are going to be given as an input, as an interval, how are you going to incorporate this in your model?
Sorry, and Yorino. Sorry, I couldn't catch any reason.
Yeah, basically, is if you can incorporate AC power flow models in your, and how are you going to take into account different security limitations? For example, available transfer capability. Are these going to be to model as an interval, as an input?
Okay. In this presentation, we use a linear model, but if we replace that part by the AC power flow, it becomes an OPF. So, and basically, it is theoretically possible, but and also and any. Yes, a formulation for that part can be useful, but the problem is that the computation and also possible, but then erroneous and in sometimes, for example, and today's previous session, there is an OPF, the second approximation, quadratic approximations, in such an approach can be useful, but basically it is quite difficult, I think, and in the reality.
So this is Göran Andersson. Is it on? This is Göran Andersson from ETH Zurich, and I have a question for the third presentation. You said in your list over future work that you should have it use this method also for detecting cyber attacks on the AGC. And could you please say a few words about that and how fast can it be? Because their timing is an issue, because you can perhaps cause something before you have detected it. So could you comment on that, please?
Thank you. Dimitri Apostolopoulou. So the whole concept of detecting a cyber attack is that you calculate the system frequency statistics and you can compare them with the statistics you know that there exist in the wind or the noise in the communication channel. So if you see that there is a difference between that, then you should look into that. You are right that it would be good to like catch that very fast, because if it's too late, it's like no point at all. But I think that it could be used like computationally. It's not very hard, so I think it could be used like in very fast time scales and be useful in that case. We haven't, like, these are like extensions we haven't yet like worked on very thoroughly, so I cannot be more specific yet. Thank you.
Steven Lowe from Caltech. I have a question about the third paper. It's very nice. So the question is, if I'm interested in, so the framework you present can estimate means and second moments, does it tell us any information about the probability? So for example, not a mean and second moment, but probability that certain bad event happens that less than some threshold.
Thank you, Dimitri Apostolopoulou. So we want to calculate the probability distribution function of the whole variable. And that is if you have like your mean value and several moments, you can like kind of construct a good approximation of that. Is your question if there's a probability assigned to the value of the like second moment or?
So for example, can one develop following the same approach that you're taking, but propagate the probability rather than propagate the first and second moment, for example?
Sorry, I'm not sure.
Maybe we can take this
offline.
We
can talk about it later. Yeah, sorry. Thanks.
Just following up on that last point. Have you looked at how accurate the method is for estimating higher order moments beyond the second? Because if your output is not following a Gaussian, then you're going to need much more moments to actually produce the PDF of the output, and just how well the method performs for that.
Thank you, Dimitri Apostolopoulou. So we have done up to third moment, and in like this simple example where everything works, so it kind of like converges to zero. And so we're planning on running simulations in bigger systems where maybe the system is not appropriate, and seeing your point, like if expanding also like more moments to see what is the PDF and.
Thank you. Claudio Canizares, University of Waterloo. This is a question for Professor Llorino regarding the computation of the robust stability region you define or security region you define. Is that done online or offline as you compute those limits? Thanks.
Basically, the computation itself is for the future problem, many of them. So, but this time that the presentation is online. But, is this your answer your question?
Sorry, I didn't hear. So.
Yeah.
Online, offline? Repeat the answer.
Okay, the security. Okay, it's basically offline.
Thank you.